So, full disclosure, yesterday's men's prayer meeting, Pastor Ben said, wreck 'em, Lord. Wreck 'em tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
And then he said, I'm going to be there at 9. We're going to pray for you again. My wife keeps asking me, what's wrong with you? It's not a bad thing, she's asking. But there's a work going on. So I said last week, in response to Pastor Ben's message from 2 weeks ago, backdraft, I said last week that he said when he got up that morning after our worship, and we had just another time of amazing worship, another time in his presence, he said, we've crossed the Jordan. We've crossed the Jordan. And we're not going back. And I said that last week. I said, the Lord has taken us into a new realm of operating. That's where today's message came from. It's already 11:45. I don't know.
Preach. Right. Yes.
We're not going back. We're operating in a new place. And that's the place right there. That's the place right there, seated with him in heavenly places. And I woke up today and there were already 6 more texts from Pastor Ben. I said to him, I have this weird collision of clarity and brain mush all at the same time. Absolute clarity about what Holy Spirit's doing, but keeping track of it all just makes your mind go. My sleep last night was this just absolute mixture of these words that have been spoken over us, these messages that have been given week by week by week. Some recent, some years ago, flashes of encounters yesterday from the street fair, just all this stuff while I'm sleeping, and I got a restful night's sleep, but I woke up, I just woke up out of bed, just walking downstairs, just Holy Spirit, just moving. So this verse, it's not an unfamiliar verse. It's not like we've never read it before. It's not like we've never experienced it before. Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, say that. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. We're not there. We don't live there anymore. Some of you may be living there. And if that's you, then you're in the right place today. All of us have lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Alive with Christ, even when we were dead. Ah. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you've been saved. God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him. He seated us with him. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his great love for us. Expressed in his great love for us. And so we've experienced this verse before, but when Ben said, we've crossed the Jordan and we're not going back, the Lord began showing me this place of being seated with him is a place of our residence now. Yes, we live here on earth. We get that. We get, live here on this place called earth in our fleshly bodies, but we're living in another realm in our spiritual bodies, and we're functioning from that realm. We're functioning from that realm, and because we're functioning from that realm, everything that Jesus brings to the equation is part of how we function. Amazing love, amazing grace, miracles, signs, wonders, wisdom, direction. Everything that Jesus brings to the equation is ours to live out from that realm right here on earth. And while this isn't new, the not going back part is what's important for us to stay in this place. Stay in this realm. Yes, while you're living. Yes, while you're doing your job. Yes, while you're grocery shopping. Yes, while you're caring for your kids. Yes, while you're doing whatever it is you do. We're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And because of that, when you walk into the room, now it's Jesus, but it's Jesus in us. You can change the atmosphere. Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble. When you walk in the room, and when we're living with that mentality, that mindset, we're walking in a power that's not our own. We're not talking about ego here. We're not talking about arrogance here. We're not talking about anything of the flesh. We're talking of the spirit. But when we walk in the room, changes are all around us. So we're at the street fair yesterday. Corey, man, if you don't know what's going on in this man's life right here, have a chat. What did he say? I've prayed more in the last 4 days or 5 days than I've prayed in my 40 years of living. So Corey signs up to be at the street fair, and he was there. So Connie and I signed up to be on the shift with him, and he was happy when somebody showed up because he said, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I said, welcome to my world. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. I walked into class today, so I don't know what I'm doing. So he said, so what do we do here? So we give someone a notebook, give someone a flashlight, talk to people. So this guy comes walking by with his daughter. looks at him. I know you. They used to work together. When's the last time you had seen him? Saw him about 6 years ago. And they have this amazing conversation. This guy's just kind of bouncing that he sees him. I don't know. He hung around for maybe 20 minutes. I don't know. And we started I met him and we were just having these conversations. And he said, maybe I'll pop in there someday here. And then eventually walked away and I said, that's what we do here. That's what we do here. And that's what it looks like to be seated in heavenly places. You don't have to orchestrate anything. You don't try to orchestrate anything. You just walk out your walk with Jesus, which is what he did. It wasn't complicated. There was no pressure on him to have to perform or come up with the right scripture or give him a sermon or do anything but just be who he is in Jesus. And it ministered. And so let me encourage every one of you, if you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and many of you I know are, just live that out. The pressure is off of you to perform. The pressure is off of you to have the right words. Open your mouth, the right words will come out because you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Here's my notes. I got scribbles everywhere. I don't even know if I can even see them. So we're going to do a little exercise here. So when you walk into a room thing, this is what the Lord showed me. And boy, if you know me, I don't function like this. This is a Sherry thing or a Bobby thing or a Ed thing. I don't know. I've seen Patty do that. I know I don't do this, but we're doing it. I got to tell this little story. So we're at a prayer meeting yesterday. And they're praying for me again. They're still praying for me. Ed's there, which is always a joy. And Ed just starts going, ha, 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 ha. How do you not respond to that? Like, ha, 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 ha. Joy. And this is the same Ed that all those years ago said, I think I'd like to have the Holy Spirit. Oh. Well, I think he got him. He got him. What was I saying? We're doing an exercise. I really did forget that. Oh, thank you. Thank you for paying attention. So we're doing this exercise. I heard that song when you walk into the room, and I want you to stand up. If you want to do this exercise, stand up. I'm giving you an out, although I shouldn't. And maybe give yourself a little bit of space. Because I found myself living kind of in this place for a while. And again, this has nothing to do with your ego. It has nothing to do with you, really, other than you're a vessel of Jesus. But I had this visual of us just taking a step, and kind of picture that you're on the outside of a doorway and you're stepping into another room or another doorway, through another doorway. And I want you to visualize that, and I want you to visualize this not just today, but I want you to visualize this in real life as you're stepping into wherever you step into from day to day. And again, this isn't about you, it's about Jesus in you. Because when he's in us and we step into a room, we step in there with a grace, with a power, with a purpose beyond maybe the natural or physical reason we're stepping into the room. Maybe we're going to do something. Maybe we're at work doing a task. Maybe we're going grocery shopping, whatever it is. But the purposes God has for us, because we're seated with him in heavenly places, is bigger. And divine appointments aren't as random as we sometimes think they are. They're way more frequent, but we're simply sometimes not paying attention or not kind of living from that place of being seated with him. We kind of go back and forth. Well, I'm going to my job now, so I'm not seated with Jesus in heavenly places. I'm on earth. Well, yeah, we're on earth. We're not leaving earth until he takes us home. But we're seated with him in heavenly places wherever we go. So as we take that step, and you can take that step whenever you're ready, this is a prophetic move that you're stepping into a room, and as you do so, something is happening through you, through your life, through Jesus living in you. You're not under any assignment to open your mouth or preach to somebody or speak a word. That may happen. That may be part of what he shows you as you step into that. And yes, that may be on your job. Yes, that may be in your grocery store. That may be in your school. That may be on the football field. That may be wherever. But that's what this looks like. That's what this realm that we're living in looks like. And we're not coming back. He does not want us wavering between this earth and heaven on earth. He wants us living there, functioning there, and understanding that his gifts are in you. Understanding that his love is in you to give away. Understanding that he's given you wisdom to speak to somebody else. Pastor Ben said this move, when we cross the Jordan, we're not going back. He said this is not something that's going to fizzle out. And it's time for us as God's people to not let it fizzle out. And again, that's not a fleshly endeavor. It's a staying bowed down endeavor of I'm staying in your presence, Jesus. I'm staying in your word, Jesus. I'm staying in that place, those places of worship. And it's out of all of that place where we function. You can sit down. So, at the end of Pastor Ben's message, we had this moment at the end where he had us stand up and shout. I was reminded, Lord was reminding me of that this week. I had, some of you know this, some of you don't know this. I had quadruple bypass surgery 3 years ago. And when I was in the hospital, before my surgery, the Holy Spirit led me to some worship. And many of you know all about this. I've told these stories numerous times in the last 3 years. But the song Gratitude, Brandon Lake's Gratitude was one of those songs that the Lord introduced me to. While I was still in St. E's in Youngstown. I had my surgery in Cleveland. And there's a line in that song. I don't want to tell the whole story because I don't want to take up time, but oh my goodness. Well, you know, so here, so I am. I'm in the hospital. I hadn't even told the whole church what was going on with me yet. A few people knew. And so I had sent an email to the whole church saying, hey, here's what's going on. I'm having surgery. And so I had done that. And so then the Lord led me to these worship songs, and Brandon Lake's Gratitude was one of them. And in the line in this song that says, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul, because you've got a lion inside of you. And so I'm in the hospital just like facing heart surgery. I'm in my room just, you know. I had a heart monitor on, so sometimes nurses came running. But I was reminded of this because sometimes our flesh will tell us, well, you're going to look foolish. What's that going to look like? What's that going to sound like if you do that? Because that's not you. You don't do that. I mean, some of us just do that. But some of us don't. And somehow you think you're exempt. And I'm telling you, you're not. Because the Lord wants to use you in that too. And I'm not saying we all have to look alike or do the same things or whatever. I'm not suggesting that in any way. But it's part of letting that flesh just die. That flesh that says, don't you do that. Everybody's going to look at you. You're going to look weird. Welcome to weird, because I've been living that out for a long time. And there came a time in my life, early in my walk with Jesus, when I was still young, where I said, I don't care. I don't care what it looks like. We sing in that one song. I don't care what it looks like. And that's just one example of what he's doing when he's saying, you're seated with me in heavenly places. Let me shine through you. In ways that may look different than how you normally function. We sometimes lock ourselves into these places of, well, this is what I do. This is what Sherry does. This is what Ben does. This is what Mark does. This is what Keith does. This is what Fran does. This is what Patty does. This is what Joel does. And the Lord says, I want to mix it all up. And I will use you how I want to use you. And you can fight me all you want, but if you're mine, I'm going to get you. Yep, we're going to get God. So I get up to Ben's 6 messages this morning. And as some of you know, I do all my health stats in the morning. Ever since my surgery, I sit down, I take my blood pressure, and weigh myself, and I take my pulse ox, and I take my temperature. And I'm like, should I even bother? Should I even bother taking my blood pressure today? Because, like, I'm just like, amped. Connie comes down. She said, what's up? 150 over 90 something, which for me is high. After six tries, I got it normal. I said, I probably shouldn't even be doing this. She said, no, you shouldn't. She also said, you shouldn't have had that coffee ice cream last night. Oh my. Oh my. I don't know when we're getting out of here, people. Ephesians says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we're living there, it's what we get to speak to people. We function out of that place of abundance of blessing. Say, you want some? So, we sang about miracles. I'm a little hesitant to do this, but I'm going to do it. So our brother Eric is in the room today. He knew he was not going to escape this. So I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But last Wednesday, his mom pulls me aside, kind of fills me in on something was going on in Eric's life. And Eric and I have had a friendship for a long, long time. And I'll send him a text every once in a while. But anyway, she told me what was going on in his life. Well, I don't know what day did you post that? Friday. Friday, he posts what's going on in his life on Facebook. He told the whole world of what his struggle is. And when I read it, I was like, that's supernatural. He didn't have to do that. But he did. He told the whole world of his struggle. But then he told the whole world of how he came through the struggle. That about the fourth day of the struggle, he thought he was going to die. That he almost called an ambulance. So I had been praying for him because his mom asked me to. But I hadn't reached out to him. But then when he told the whole world of his struggle, and part of this living and seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms, there's a vulnerability. And he was vulnerable. He put himself out there. And he didn't have to, but he did. And I don't even know if he sees this as a supernatural thing, but it was a supernatural thing, Eric, that you did that. That was a supernatural move. God did that. Holy Spirit prompted you to do that. And the Holy Spirit's the one seeing you through it all. And I think you do recognize that. So then I reached out to him. And said, hey, I'm praying for you. I didn't really say anything that, hey, I saw your post. I just said, he knew what it was about. And I said, we have prayer meeting tomorrow morning, 6:30. I'll pick you up if you want to go. And he wasn't able to do that. But he thanked me for that. And he said, but I'm coming to church tomorrow. And he said, I know I've told you that before, but I'm coming. And here he is. Amen. And I'm sorry you went through everything you've gone through. I'm sorry people go through stuff. I hate when people go through stuff. But when the Lord's doing a work, because we live seated with Him in heavenly places, we get to love on Eric. We get to love on Him and care for Him. He'll use everything. So, I had the honor of doing Judy's mom's funeral service yesterday. And you do what the Lord's kind of showing you. And, you know, there were times I look over my notes, I said, this isn't much. And I had asked her if any of the family wanted to speak to let me know, and I never heard back, but so I figured it's okay, you know, I'm pretty flexible, we can move as whatever happening. But I still had in my notes sharing from family, and so I just said, hey, does anybody in the family want to speak? And her brother Mark Gordon stands up. And I told this in our open door class this morning because it was just such an example of, this is an example of this seated with Him in heavenly places, that when you trust Him, He'll lead the way. And his brother stood up, and it was like Peter right out of the scriptures, just standing up and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In this just very small, intimate, pretty much family only. There were some friends there too, it was pretty much family. Yeah. And I'm just sort of standing there going, oh my goodness. Even in this, Lord, even in this, You are functioning, and you're using Your people who are seated with You in heavenly places to do Your work. In something that just could have maybe been a routine, but it was anything but routine. And it wasn't necessarily long, but it didn't have to be. Oh my goodness. There's so much more written down, but we have to do one more thing. Well, I have to show you one more thing. Stop looking at the time. Correction from a young buck. I know it's nothing. Well, maybe two more things. Oh, man. So, one of the things that's been happening is all these words that have been spoken over us all these years are just, it's like they're converging in the atmosphere, like, go and tell. Invite the strangers. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we have a word every year for our church. The Lord gives us a word. And not just those specific words, but these specific teachings that we've been hearing. We were at the Healing Summit here last Friday. Tim Sheets, we were the live stream of that. And those guys have never been here. But yet we hear the Lord is raising up the Ecclesia mandate. He's giving the Ecclesia mandate. That was the exact title of Pastor Shane's message 2 years ago, a year ago. One of them says, I don't remember which one, says, what we're experiencing, this is that. Pastor Ben gave that message 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I've heard in the last 2 weeks, I've heard, well, you know what? I have them right here because I asked Connie to get these off the bulletin board. Well, the other day, I was wearing this t-shirt. Be about it. 2012, a word given to us. I heard this
Night of the Healing Summit. I heard this when Bobby spoke a few weeks ago. Step in, step up, step out. I hear this one all the time. Keep the fire burning. Oh, sorry, Patty. If my people, sorry, paper doesn't fly that well, and I'm not a very good thrower. Heard this just yesterday. Walk into the increase. I've heard this pretty much any time we're gathered to prayer anymore. We are set apart. That's for you, Jeanette. Hear this anytime you have a conversation with Gary Sloan. We are more than conquerors. Last year's word, we're to invite the stranger. And you do that all the time. Perfect person. Go and tell. And I have no idea why, but the Lord said, throw them in the air. I have no idea why. And I thought, that seems silly. It's going to look silly. I don't care. Oh, I didn't know I was giving them away, but that's right. Well, let me make copies of them first so I can put them back on the board. Oh my goodness. So one more thing. The scriptures will wait, but so one of the things we did at the street fair, and this is one of the things Holy Spirit told me while I was sleeping or sometime. I got it anyway. I got it somehow. So we passed out flashlights at the street fair yesterday, over the last 3 days. And they were a hot commodity, but for whatever reason, I ended up with three left. And when we brought the supplies back, I put them back in the office. But when Holy Spirit shows you something, and I said, Connie, we have to stop at the office. She said, for what? I said, I have to pick up something up. And there were these flashlights. And so these flashlights will only work if you pull the little tab. That will kick the battery into work mode. And then you press the button, because people would come up and they kept like pressing the button and it wasn't working. And then I'd say, you have to pull the tab. So in my sleep or in whatever state I was in overnight, Lord said, some of you have these little tabs at the back of your neck. At the back of your neck. And this is another prophetic act. And some of them have words on them. For some of you, that word is fear. For some of you, that word is doubt. For some of you, that word is unforgiveness. And I could probably just go on a whole list of words that are on that little tab. I don't think it actually says anything, except maybe remove before use. Remove before use. I didn't even know that. So if you have a tab back here that says fear, if you have a tab back here that says doubt, a tab back here that says unforgiveness, if tab back here, anger, bitterness, self-doubt, hate,
The light's not going to come on. The light's not going to come on. It's not going to work. You can press the button all you want. It's not going to work till the tab that's holding it back is removed. So the prophetic act is standing up, putting your hand behind your neck, and yanking that thing out. Remove before use. Remove before use. So whatever is holding you back from functioning in heavenly places, seated next to Jesus, he wants that thing out of there. He wants that thing out of there. And if you're in this room today, and we're going to close now, because I got tons of scriptures, I got tons of stories, I got tons of things I could talk about. They'll wait. It's funny, when we were at the fair, at the Canfield Fair, I met a guy that was working with Pastor Mark, and he said, "What are you preaching on next?" And I said, I gave him two titles. Neither one of them was this one. And I said, when we were at the Healing Summit, the Lord, I probably got six messages from there. And then he said, "No, this is the right time. This is the right time. This is the right time about telling them where they're seated. Telling them where they're seated. We're next to Jesus. With him. How intimate is that? That we're seated with Jesus. And that we get to function from that place." And so, if you've got a tab sticking in the back of your neck that needs to come out, you can stand up whenever you're ready. But let me tell you, if you don't have the strength to do it yourself, ask somebody, "Can you take that thing out of my neck for me? Or help me to do it?" Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we think we can't do that. That's one of the things we in the body of Christ get to do with one another, is help one another. I was thinking about this because many of you know about my wrecked experience of a number of years ago, when I came in here and just knelt at the altar before worship, and the Lord just wrecked me, made me drunk, and I couldn't stand up. I couldn't, and I had to go to the bathroom. And so people had to carry me, like just carry me into the bathroom. And we got in there, and I was like, "Okay, you can leave now." And one of the things, when they prayed for me yesterday, Pastor Shane was holding this hand, Pastor Ben was, I think, holding this one, or behind me, I don't know. And one of the things Pastor Shane prayed is, "We got you. We got you." And so while they were praying for me to be wrecked, and I was like, "Oh Lord," I had full confidence that if I couldn't walk,
they'd help me. And Pastor Shane said, in this whole room full, and you'll have a whole room full of people who will carry you, who will help you, who will stand with you. And that was not just about being wrecked in the spirit. That's about carrying on this work that we have the absolute privilege of doing to a lost and dying world, so the lost and dying world can know about this amazing love that we have in Jesus. And we get to share that from this place of being seated with Him. Have specific things that you're praying for, and the Lord has shown you something, I want to encourage you with everything I can to hold on to what He has shown you, and don't let what it looks like, because sometimes what it looks like isn't how it's going to be. Don't let those doubts, don't let those intrusions that the enemy likes to kind of try to weave into our walk keep you. There's three specific things that I have on a list that they're not related even to one another. All three very different things that I have. The Lord has shown me something very specific. And I sometimes have to fight tooth and nail to keep praying faithfully toward them. Because sometimes the systems show something different than what I believe I've seen. And sometimes people will speak words that go against what I've seen. And that's not like I said, no, that's wrong. It's not even a verbal conversation. I don't respond. But in my spirit, I have to say, no, 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 no. That's not what I've been shown. And so if you have situations like that, I want you, again, from a place of being seated next to Jesus, when those doubts come or when those darts come or when whatever it is that tries to interrupt that or get in the way of that, I want you to remember where you're seated. I want you to remember where you're seated. That you didn't originate that. That came from the hands of Jesus. His words came from His mouth. Hold on to it. All right, back to the thing in your neck. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. You can stay in your seats. You can come forward. You can do whatever you need to do. But get that thing out of there. And maybe there's more than one. You know, maybe you need both hands. And again, there's no judgment in this. There's no judgment. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging anybody or anything. So Lord, right now I'm praying for all of those who have something that needs to be removed. And that they know it. It's not for me. I don't know. That's not anybody else telling anybody else what that is. That's only you and them. This is your work. But I'm praying right now that as they put that hand on that tab, whatever it says, that you are yanking it out. You are yanking out doubt. You are yanking out depression. You are yanking out fear. You are yanking out self-preservation. And Lord, as these tabs get removed, and the light comes on. The light comes on.
that these vessels will be shining brightly from the place of heaven, from the place of being seated with you in heaven. And they won't have to strive. That the battle with that thing is done. Because the tab has been removed. And now the vessel can be used in even greater ways. Because the obstacle is no longer there. So Lord, just do this work. Do this work. Praying for our brother Eric. Praying for our brother Eric. Just people, stretch your hands toward him. I know you're not going back. Guess what? We won't let you. We will track you down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our brother. Thank you for giving him the boldness to say what he said, to tell the whole world, to tell the whole world about his struggle. Thank you for the many, not just his one friend, but the many that he's going to minister to because he told about his story. Yes. And Lord, we thank you for those who have prayed for him, Lord. But I thank you that Eric's in my life. Life. He's in our lives. Oh, Jesus. I pray blessing on your people today as we go out of here. I pray we will go out of here seated with you. Seated with you, knowing that we're seated with you. I pray, Lord, that we will function in that prophetic act of walking into the room, knowing that we have opportunity to change the atmosphere, not because of us, but because of you. And that as we operate in that place, that we're gonna hear more and more and more and more stories of what you've done. All for your glory, Jesus. All for your glory, Jesus. There's people here who will pray with you if you need.